Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of Legion of News is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
Atop the Milkpacking District in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon. This, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
The Newburgh Motel explosion was caused by hashish being cooked. The oldest human on Earth turns 115, and President Obama says that Hurricane Irene is hella bad.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, pay heed, for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Friday, August 26th, 2011. Newburgh police said hashish was being cooked in the Newburgh motel room before an explosion sent a McMinnville man to the hospital with critical injuries. Christopher Height, 29, of McMinnville, was found in the hallway about 3 a.m. Thursday of the Best Western Motel in Newburgh. With critical burn injuries, he was not breathing on his own and was listed in critical condition at last report. A two-year-old girl also suffered minor injuries, along with Andrea Maria Goh, 26, of McMinnville. 123 motel guests were evacuated into the parking lot. Witnesses said a dog who was in a crate, it actually says in a cage, but I saw the picture, it was a metal crate, was in the room at the time of the explosion, but the dog did not appear to be hurt.
How is a metal crate different from a metal cage? Explain.
Well, when you say, I don't know, it's probably not that different, but when they say cage, a dog was in a cage, sounds horrible, but an actual, you know, dog crate, the collapsible kind that is made of wire, the dog goes in and out freely of its own will.
As opposed to the dog being imprisoned.
Most dogs, you know, dogs who have been crate trained enjoy being crated. They enjoy having their own little den that they can go into. They like the crate. A cage is like being imprisoned. It is a difference. So just thought I'd say that. Anyway, the cause of the blast remains under investigation, but police said Height admitted he had been cooking hashish in the room just before the explosion. I have no idea. I know nothing about cooking hashish. I have no idea why that would cause a motel room to explode.
I think most of the things you do with drugs cause things to explode. Occasionally it's a room, occasionally it's a laboratory, occasionally it's parts of your own body.
I used to do a lot of drugs and I never made anything explode, ever.
Yeah, but you weren't cooking drugs.
That's true. I was not cooking
anything. It's not the taking, it's the cooking.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're Richard Pryor, it's kind of both in combination.
Right.
Yeah.
So the guests displaced by the explosion were asked to stay out of their rooms. School buses were brought to the motel for them. A hazmat crew was part of the response, but only to check air quality. And the motel sprinkler system put out any flames before fire crews arrived. So hashish being cooked.
I will say on the, first of all, I don't know what hashish is, except that I think it's an oil extract of some kind. But that, of course, means that it's an oil extract of hash, and I, in turn, don't know what hash is.
I don't know either.
Well, if you don't know, then who does, really? Who am I supposed to ask? If you don't know the answer to these drug questions, I'm just going to be totally bereft of answers.
Is hashish created from marijuana?
I just said I don't know.
Yeah, I don't
see,
know.
See? So I just, that's, anything beyond I don't know is probably going to be superfluous at this point.
In a way, it's probably kind of impressive that we know so little about things like this, because it shows that we've had a lot of clean living.
Is that how low the bar is set, that it's impressive? We are actually, quote, impressive because we don't know what hashish is?
Yes.
Because I don't know anything about extracting hash in a Newburgh hotel room.
I've smoked hashish. All I know is that it looked like a little bullion cube, and the guy chipped a little bit of it off with a razor blade, and then we smoked it in a in one of the resource rooms in my high school when we were supposedly looking at a film strip.
See, this is one of those things where you think it was hashish because he told you that, but it could have been anything. It could have been extract of shoe scraping.
It could have been an actual bullion cube.
Yeah.
I was 15. What would I have known?
I'm so wasted. Yeah. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. It is Friday, August 26th, 2011. Coming up later on this hour, entertainment news, also science on the march. And you can get this program later on today via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here. Or at legionofnews.com, rather, cascadia.fm or legionofnews.com. You can take it with you on your mobile device. Mm-hmm. That is mobile.cascadia.fm. Here is Don Taylor.
Amtrak says a train carrying about 175 passengers between Chicago and San Francisco derailed in southwest Nebraska. Spokesman Mark Magliari said the California Zephyr derailed around 8 a.m. Friday near Max, Nebraska. That's the actual name of a town, by the way, Max.
It's right next to Steve.
Not far from the state's borders with Kansas and Colorado. Magliari said there have been no reports of serious injuries, but can't say for sure whether anyone aboard was hurt. He says it appears the train struck a vehicle on the tracks, but he didn't know what kind of vehicle was hit.
Do they actually know that it struck a vehicle, or is it just that sort of, it appears to have struck a vehicle because they're just busy picking pieces of wire and teeth out of the front of the train?
They found a bumper, so they're thinking, looks like there might have been a car here.
The estimation is that there may have been a person driving a vehicle across the tracks, but we're probably never going to know that because the Dustbuster isn't powerful enough. Here's a question. Do they still make Dustbusters?
I hope so, because we could really use one here.
I mean, is that the sort of thing that, like, you can just go into a store and buy now? I mean, it's a cultural reference, but does it exist as an actual item that can be purchased?
The actual Dustbuster brand.
Or even the tiny, small, wall-mounted rechargeable vacuum.
I'm sure you can. You must be able to.
And even if, I mean, if those exist.
Dirt Devil makes one, I believe.
That's the only one I can think of, that which actually predates the Dustbuster. But even if the actual Dustbuster itself is no longer available, that in turn prompts the question of why. Because that's the thing that everybody purchased.
Yeah.
So how
maybe that's it. We all bought one, and then we didn't need any more.
No, owned several of those, I can tell you that's not like that's not a Kirby you're buying there. It's not a lifetime purchase or anything. It seems like that's a guaranteed growth industry there, because we're a dirty, filthy people.
We are, and we don't want to haul big vacuum cleaners around. You want a small little thing that we can. Hence why I have a corner full of crumbs over here by my seat here in the office.
I'm just saying it makes no sense. It's one of those things that's been nagging at me, I swear to Christ, for like 3 months, and I can't seem to find an answer to it anywhere.
Have you tried Googling Dustbuster?
No, I haven't, because that's giving up.
Oh.
If I can just figure it out through shoe leather, Don, then I don't have to admit that I'm just letting,
Hey, maybe you need to pay a trip to Stark's Vacuum Cleaners and ask them.
I want to pay a visit there anyway because they got that awesome sign from the 1960s.
Yeah. Have you been to the Stark's Vacuum Cleaner Museum and looked at the old historical vacuums?
Is that inside the Stark's building?
Yeah, it's inside the Stark's store.
No, I have not.
The Stark's Vacuum Cleaner Museum. It's awesome.
Hi, we're old. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Don't forget the Rick Emerson radio program coming up next hour at rickemersonshow.com. Today we'll talk about button shoes. Here's Don Taylor.
Hurricane Irene is putting a damper on the dedication of the new Martin Luther King Jr. Monument in Washington, D.C. In fact, President Obama went on the record today from his vacation home or wherever it is he is in Martha's Vineyard. Warning people that it could be extremely dangerous and costly, this hurricane, and that all indications point to it being, quote, a historic hurricane. Speaking from Martha's Vineyard, the president urged Americans to follow any emergency orders that are issued by authorities, and he said, and I am not making this up, if you are given an evacuation order, please follow it.
I actually got the sound of him saying that, but it struck me. I mean, even I believe that that was just too ludicrous to spend time on.
So the official ceremony for the Martin Luther King Jr. Monument was set for Sunday. Memorial Foundation President and CEO Harry Johnson made the announcement. Harry Johnson.
It sounds like a penis with hair on it. Comedy.
And his brother Hugh Johnson. They made the announcement last night that things would be changed around for the weekend celebration.
In consultation with the National Park Service.
His name is Harry Johnson.
Yeah.
Harry Johnson. Okay.
In consultation with the National Park Service, the mayor's office, and FEMA, we are announcing in the interest of public safety that we are forced to change our plans.
I don't know for certain, but I would almost guarantee you that he is not part of the National Park Service. That's just a guess, but I'm pretty sure that I'm
maybe
right
about
that.
Maybe the National Park Service was co-sponsoring the event. They were going to be handing out
that also
tasty
seems
sausages.
Exceedingly unlikely.
Because Martin Luther King Jr. was a man who loved a good sausage, says Harry Johnson. Johnson says other events will happen on Sunday, Friday, and Saturday ahead of the hurricane.
We're not going to be releasing.
I'm sorry, that's wrong.
First and foremost, the Friday schedule will continue as planned.
Yes.
Secondly, on Saturday, we will hold a national prayer service at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception. This will be the final official event of the dedication week.
Here's the thing. First of all, isn't Basilica like a rock compound or something? Isn't that one of those things that Hank Schrader's collecting on the Breaking Bad?
I always think it's a lizard, and I realize that's a basilisk. I get those confused.
Wait, I thought that was a soup. No, that's a bisque.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. I think you're thinking of silica, which is the...
I am thinking of silica.
Which is sand.
Okay, there you go. So now we've...
And a mineral.
We've learned absolutely nothing
right
today. By the way, anything that I have learned, I will forget by the next time we do the show. Somebody is asking if that was a Sam Jackson. It's not. It's a...
No.
It's Harry Johnson.
First and foremost, the Friday schedule will continue.
All right.
Of the National Park Service.
I'm glad that he just embraced it, though, and just ran with it. You know, that he's not going to change his name. He's not going to call himself Harold. You're not going to call himself like H.R. Johnson or something. He's just going to grab it and just.
I am Harry Johnson.
He's going to own that. He's going to take that back. He's going to run with it.
Good for
Here's
him.
The other thing about the stentorian black voice, which this guy has.
First and foremost, the Friday schedule will continue as planned.
You see, that guy's just got that all day. He's just got that deep, rich, resonant voice. The thing, and I think I speak for many lame white people when I say this. The thing about the deep, rich, stentorian black voice is it makes you want to do things that normally you would not do.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like we have a church service coming up today. Your average white jackass just going like, "We're all going to be going to church. Everybody, get in the van. We are all going to church, followed by a meeting at the youth group center." And you just go, "Well, like, you know, no, I'm just going to stay at home and masturbate if it's all the same to you." But you hear this guy.
First and foremost, the Friday schedule will continue as planned.
And he's talking about having the prayer service. You go, I am there.
Yeah.
I sat and I watched. Sign me up.
I watched about a half hour, 45-minute lecture on TV on like C-SPAN or something like that once by Louis Farrakhan. And he was just mesmerizing. He was amazing. And then I found myself towards the very end of it, you know, he built his whole, you know, he laid down his foundation. And he gave you his facts and his figures and his ideas and his concepts. And he was just so compelling and so completely, like, he just sold everything. And by the end of it, I was sitting there and I actually found myself going, yes, yes, kill all the white people.
White people are the problem.
Down with all the white people. And then I realized, oh, wait, I am one of the white people.
Well, look, I mean, admitting that is part of the problem, Don. That's that's the first step to solving. The first step to finding the solution to these things is just embracing your own part in the
but he sold
in
me.
The oppression of everyone else.
I was ready to just, like, you know, take to the streets and wipe out Whitey.
No, you can catch him on the public access channels, like Sunday morning, often on like Channel 11, I think it is here in Portland. They'll run big, long stretches of Louis Farrakhan. And, if you're really just in the right frame of mind, you know, or if you've just been fired and you're watching that guy, it starts to make a lot of sense. I think that the first time Laura and I actually caught about an hour or what the bulk of his morning sermon, it was on a Sunday, and I think I had just been fired by Entercom. And I was sitting on the couch, and suddenly it's like the answer, the cause of all my misfortune suddenly seemed very clear. The answer had never seemed so apparent to me, and I knew what had to be done.
Yes.
That's right. I'm working. That's why I'm working as a mole inside. Ah. I'm working to bring down the white establishment from within for my my black brothers.
Because you can pass.
That's right. Well, it's like Keith Richards. I've been sent by the black man as a spy into the white world to bring back the news of the oppressor and his plans.
Nice.
All right. Don't tell.
Continuing with hurricane coverage, because it is all about us. The Portland Timbers match in Washington, D.C. on Saturday is going to be rescheduled due to the hurricane. The game against D.C. United was originally scheduled for 4:30 p.m. Pacific time. D.C. United then announced an earlier kickoff time, but come on, we can do this before the hurricane arrives.
You know, Manchester United wouldn't get to go home because it was going to be raining and there's some wind.
The guys in Chile.
Seriously.
They play in hurricanes all the time, I'll bet.
Do you think Arsenal's going to be, it's going to be windy then. Let's just go back to the pub and have a pint. No. They continue to play. They're real men.
Pussies. So the match has officially been postponed. A new date and time has not been determined. Hurricane Irene is expected to come ashore Saturday in North Carolina with winds of around 115 miles per hour. You can play soccer in that.
Honestly.
Come on. The Timbers are off a 1-0 win over Chivas USA. Is that named after the booze?
Probably.
I don't know. Here at Jeldwin Field. The victory vaulted the Timbers solidly into the playoff picture.
Nobody's vaulted by a 1-0 win over anybody else.
No.
Especially when it takes you 2.5 hours to get a point. Honestly.
The game would probably move faster in 115-mile-per-hour winds. The ball would move quicker.
I mean, you just think that what they should do is that, yes, never mind. I don't even care.
All right.
I'm just spending all this time talking about soccer like it's a thing I give a rat's ass about. I don't. I don't, and I will not pretend to just so I can be a good Portlander. I don't care. If somebody else is into it, that's fine. I'm not trying to bust on other people that are all into soccer. I'm just saying I will not pretend to be a soccer enthusiast because a billboard told me to do it.
All right.
So everybody can suck that.
Okay.
Here's Don Taylor.
Also, New York City has ordered a mandatory evacuation of low-lying coastal areas of all 5 of its boroughs. It's the first of its kind in the city's history. Mayor Michael Bloomberg says New Yorkers need to prepare for the worst as Hurricane Irene heads their way.
What is this? Is this a cut?
Irene 01,
which is right
there. There is a very dangerous storm headed in our direction.
That's
okay.
It. That's the totality of the sound. We have a second thing from him.
Here it comes. Bloomberg also says people in certain areas of the city need to leave their homes by late Saturday.
We are today issuing a mandatory, I repeat the word mandatory, evacuation order for all New Yorkers who live in the low-lying Zone A coastal areas in all 5 boroughs that are at greatest risk of damage relating to Irene.
This sounds like the guy at the IBEW job hall that's telling you when you can come up to the window and fill out an application for something.
Yeah, Bloomberg sounds very tired.
Really, he does. His voice does not ring with authority. He does not have a stentorian and resonant speaking voice.
Maybe he spent the night stacking sandbags and working to help prepare for the hurricane.
Yeah.
Or not. Yeah. But yeah. A New Hampshire school teacher accused of terrorizing his ex-wife and children by leaving deer parts at their home is scheduled for trial and won't be returning to Portsmouth High School as a teacher this fall. Nathaniel Hurd is scheduled for trial on October 18th on charges of criminal trespassing, criminal threatening, and stalking. Authorities allege the 51-year-old Hurd left an ear and a hoof at the home to frighten the family in violation of a no-contact order. He claims the parts were a gift for his daughter.
Everybody loves deer.
Apparently, the daughter had expressed interest in a hoof after seeing a deer harvested. So really, even though there's a restraining order
against him... After seeing a deer what?
Harvested, it said.
What does that mean?
Broken down, probably, for meat.
I don't think harvesting. I think somebody's confusing their nomenclature there.
But anyway, yeah, so even though there's a restraining order against him by the family, he thought it would be a good idea to leave the... it was a gift. It was a well-meaning gift to leave a deer ear and hoof.
It's not like they had to talk to him or anything. I mean, it's like it's like somebody just coming by and leaving a cake on your doorstep.
Yeah.
It's not like you're having to speak with them. What if he just were to throw it at the porch from across the street? If he were like more than 100 yards away or whatever, he would just heave it there or just to drop it from a plane.
Well, anyway, he had requested and was granted an unpaid leave of absence. Following his April arrest, he was placed on paid leave. He says he got the deer parts from a friend.
Does it say why there's a restraining order against him?
No.
All right.
No. But, yeah.
I mean, I got to tell you, from a family where it's like every single relative seems to have a collection of antlers in every room of their home mounted on a wall and occasionally, you know, rugs made from various other sections of the animal. It's not like it's so out of the question that there'd be some family of rubes where the daughter wanted to wear elk teeth around her neck or something. So,
true.
You know.
I wouldn't mind having a hoof, but you know me, I collect parts.
Well, you can't have mine.
Okay. Experts at England's National Health Service are suggesting that private doctors stop referring healthy women who want female genital cosmetic surgery to the NHS. Specialists at a central London teaching hospital say they received 30 such referrals, mainly from family doctors, over the past 3 years. This included 8 schoolgirls, one as young as 11. This is reported by the British Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology. Experts say doctors need clear guidance on how best to care for women who mistakenly believe they need cosmetic surgery on their genitals. The British Association of Aesthetic Plastic Surgeons says medics need to determine whether a problem actually exists or whether an alternative solution may be preferable, but offers no advice on how to judge the problem. They say it may be simpler to ban the procedure in the NHS altogether, leaving it to private practices. Some primary care trusts do this.
Oh, so this is an issue. It's not an issue of whether it should be banned. It's an issue of whether the government should be paying for
right.
it.
Right.
Well,
right.
Why is the government paying for plastic surgery of any kind?
Well,
unless it's something you have, unless you like fall into a grease fire.
Some plastic surgery is necessary for medical reasons.
Well, cosmetic surgery is what they called it. Cosmetic surgery is never medically necessary, or they wouldn't call it cosmetic. They'd call it, you know, needed.
Okay.
Cosmetic means unnecessary.
Well, plastic surgery, yes. Anyway, Dr. Sarah Creighton and her colleagues believe the future demand for so-called designer vagina operations or labial reductions is potentially infinite and is driven by society's wider and growing desire for cosmetic surgery in general and changing expectations about what is a desirable appearance for a woman. Latest figures for England show about 2,000 of the procedures are paid for by the NHS each year. Dr. Creighton says this is probably the tip of the iceberg. It's a massive boom industry in the private sector. For the study, they reviewed all 33 women referred to their clinic between 2007 and 2010 with requests for labial reduction. Most of the women were seeking help because they were concerned about appearance. Only a fifth wanted the surgery to reduce discomfort. One woman said she felt compelled to have the surgery after seeing a television program on cosmetic genital surgery. A third of the women said they looked at advertisements about the surgery before seeing a doctor. There's advertisements for that, apparently. And upon examination, all of the women were deemed to have normal genitalia by the doctors, but 3 were offered surgery to address a significant asymmetry.
Well, of course, the advertisements for that are called porn films.
Yeah.
Well, it just seems to be the issue is whether or not the government, whether I ought to be paying to have your vagina redone. And the answer to that, I think, is no. You can pay for your own your own vagina stapling or whatever it is. Whatever it is they're sucking or moving or squinching or tacking up. I don't know.
These are moments when I think how nice it would be to have a life where I had so few real problems that I could be concerned about the symmetry of my labia.
Well, I suppose it's all relative. I suppose somebody in Rwanda would say the same thing about you.
Well, yeah, but I... Jeez.
Oh, you can't find Arnold Palmer in a big enough can. How do you make it through the day? You know, and meanwhile, like, his family's being hacked up with a machete in the next room.
See, it's all... I guess it's all relative.
That's right. The grass is always greener, Don. Mm. Except for those who don't have grass. Just dirt, mud holes, machetes.
Right. Let's do science.
Okay, here's your science on the march for whatever the hell day this is, Friday, here at Legion of News on Cascadia.fm, brought to you by Squires Electric. That is SquiresElectric.com online, or you can find them at Facebook.com/SquiresElectric, or you can call 503-252-1609, 503-252-1609. They are licensed, bonded, and insured electrical installers, contractors, and supervisors. They can make your life easier in myriad ways. All of them have to do with wiring. Outside of that, that's your own problem. You can, you know, your vagina is your own difficulty, frankly. Let's just put it that way, huh? So wires are wiring in your home or business, whether it's broadband, whether it's your actual electrical wiring, whether it's your intra wiring inside your office building so that one office may seamlessly communicate with another. They can handle all that, whether it's installation, upgrade, repair, or making sure you pass your next inspection. Squires Electric at 503-252-1609. Proud sponsors of this, your Science on the March.
Researchers at Stanford University studied a mind-controlling protozoa called Toxoplasma gondii, which turns rats into lovers of cats. The parasite tricks the rat's brain into equating the smell of cat pee an odor that's normally terrifying to rodents, with the smell of a female rat in heat. So parasite in the rat's brain makes the rat think it's smelling a sexy lady rat, when instead it's smelling cat urine. After sniffing a towel soaked in cat urine, infected rats showed activity in brain regions that are normally turned on by mating partners. Toxoplasma gondii reproduces only in the intestines of cats. So by creating kamikaze rats, the parasite may be orchestrating its own reproduction.
Well, that's kind of terrifying and awesome all at once.
Yeah.
Like so much of nature.
A potent antibiotic can lessen breathing problems in people with emphysema and other lung ailments. It's collectively known as COPD, or chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. U.S. and Canadian researchers have reported on this in the August 25th New England Journal of Medicine. The scientists randomly assigned 1,100 COPD patients to get azithromycin or a placebo daily for a year in addition to their usual treatment. Those on azithromycin, which suppresses inflammation in addition to fighting infection, were less likely than the others to have an acute bout of lung problems marked by coughing, shortness of breath, or the need for a change in routine medications. Saudi Arabia has found traces of a civilization that was domesticating horses about 9,000 years ago, 4,000 years earlier than previously thought. This discovery shows that horses were domesticated in the Arabian Peninsula for the first time more than 9,000 years ago, whereas previous studies estimated the domestication of horses in Central Asia dating back 5,000 years, said Ali Al-Gaban, vice chairman of the Department of Museums and Antiquities. The remains of the civilization were found close to Aba in southwestern Azir province, an area known to antiquity as Arabia Felix. Gaban said the civilization, which was given the name Al-Makari, used methods of embalming that are totally different to known processes. Among the remains found at the site are statues of animals such as goats, dogs, hawks, and a 3-foot-tall bust of a horse. Gaban said, a statue of an animal of this dimension, dating back to that time, has never been found anywhere in the world. He added that archaeologists also found arrowheads, stone tools, weaving tools, and mortars for pounding grain, reflecting a development of that civilization. The governor of Illinois accepted an offer to launch Nissan's all-Japanese-built electric car this week. Governor Pat Quinn said Thursday, Illinois is laying the groundwork for electric vehicles and a more green economy, and our efforts are paying off, as he thanked Nissan for bringing the Leaf to his state months earlier than originally planned.
What do they mean Illinois is launching a completely Japanese-made car?
I mean that the car Nissan has launched the Leaf, and
right,
they chose apparently Illinois as the place to do it.
What does that mean, launch? They didn't build it. What are they doing?
It's going to be in a handful of U.S. markets in December, so they were just bringing them here and saying, ta-da! Look, we've got this thing.
I don't understand. If I were to be in Illinois when this launch was happening, what would I see?
You'd see a car. Then they'd be showing off the car and telling you all about the car.
You mean there's just going to be like an unveiling ceremony? Is that what we're talking about here? I don't know what the launch means in this context.
I think that it was a chance for people to see it and maybe test drive it and sign up to get one when they arrive in December.
Is this like a thing where you go down and there's free popcorn, you know, and cake for the kids? And Cal Worthington is there with his dog Spot, and you drive a car?
And the Pork Association is there with the sausages.
How confident are you in this answer?
I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway, 350,000 Americans have asked Nissan to send them information about the Leaf.
Do we all have to go to Illinois?
No.
Okay.
But now, apparently, that's the only place they have them. I don't know why they did it.
I don't understand any... I don't know what's going on in the story again. This is like the fifth story this week where I'm lost.
Nissan had an event in Illinois, and it was the first place where they said, look, here's the Leaf. And they've been talking about the Leaf and showing off pictures of the Leaf, but now they actually showed it off and people were able to do stuff with it, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm just reading what it says. They just keep saying it was a Chicago launch.
All right.
It will include... Oh, yeah, here we go. It will include a highly publicized 3-day drive electric fair.
Well, I myself have been hearing about it constantly.
Where prospective buyers can learn about the Leaf and take it for a drive outside the Field Museum.
Okay. So this is the first chance the public has to go and actually drive the car. That's
yes.
What they mean with it. Well,
right.
You say yes like you've been saying that all along.
I said that before and you didn't believe me.
That's not true.
They brought it and they...
You were saying it's a thing where they just did stuff, and then you did that thing where you trail off elliptically, slowing down and talking quieter, comedically.
Okay.
All right.
Anyway, J.D. Power has forecast that 12,000 electric vehicles will be sold in the United States this year, a tiny fraction of the 12 to 13 million vehicle market. That number should rise to 100,000 vehicles in the U.S. and 800,000 worldwide in 2016 as more automakers enter the electric market and more consumers are drawn to the product. While those numbers kind of, you know, look somewhat impressive, electric cars are forecast to make up just 0.6% of the U.S. market by 2016.
So what is it? It's the Nissan Leaf? That's who's making it?
Yes.
The Chevy is the Volt, right?
Right.
You see, I'm looking at the Leaf. See, but again, the problem is this is the difference between... I have to say, look, I don't mean that, you know, if anybody works for Nissan or whatever, this is an unattractive car. I mean, every single picture, unless the Google Image Search is somehow showing me, like, a different, like, some earlier variation on it or whatever, this is not an aesthetically appealing car. It looks like a Ford Festiva. I mean, it's a slightly larger version of that. This is not a thing that I would, and maybe it's because it's not, and maybe it's not designed for the male demographic. I don't know. Maybe the target demo for this might not be me.
Find it unappealing.
Well, there, I think that is evidence then that it's probably not designed for me.
I mean, I don't look at it and go, woohoo! I want one of them.
I mean,
the one I'm looking at is sort of a silver.
On Google Image Search, like 98% of these are teal, and it's got that weird thing. It's got that strange back end that's all slanted forward, but it looks like some sort of deformed hatchback.
See, I'm looking at it on the Nissan site, and it's not so bad.
But it is a chick car. I mean, which is fine. I mean, you know, chicks got to drive too, I guess. So the law tells us.
You can get it in red. It looks all fancy in red. It's a little better in red.
Still not phallic enough for me, Don.
But
that Chevy Volt, on the other hand, because the thing about the Prius just looked completely unlike anything else, whereas this just looks like a less appealing version of things that I already don't want to buy.
I'm also confused because they call it the Leaf, but you apparently can't get it in green.
Really?
Yeah, it comes in black, silver, light blue, and off-white. Why isn't there a green?
I don't know. Apparently, here's another thing about the Leaf. Apparently, it is battery only, so when you run out of juice, it takes several hours to get enough energy to go anywhere, as opposed to, I think, you know, like some of the cars that have a, you know, they have like a gas backup or they have, you know, some ancillary or alternate form of power. Apparently, so if you run out of battery power in this, I guess you are effed. You're not going to be going anywhere for a while. You should be sitting there. Just be sitting there baking away in the sun and especially like if you were driving that thing halfway, you know, you're driving it through the gorge or something and you run out of power, I get the sense that you're just, hosed.
Well, it's kind of the same way if you run out of gasoline, though. I mean,
AAA can bring you gas.
Well.
What are they going to bring you if this happens?
And
who's going to bring it to you?
I think AAA actually has special trucks that they're preparing for this sort of thing where they can actually come and give you an emergency charge.
Okay, I'm going to play the part of the listeners now that you're just making that up.
No, I'm not. I read that in the AAA Via magazine that they send to AAA men.
Really?
Yes.
Are you a AAA member now?
Yes.
Okay, because the alternative would be to believe that you just read the AAA magazine like for entertainment, which would be sad.
No, it's actually one of the better stupid free magazines you get in the mail because you belong to something. Like yesterday, I got the one from Apple or from AT&T. Saying, hey, you have a phone. Here's like a 4-page fake magazine about AT&T, and I didn't care.
Yeah, apparently, the Leaf is designed for use in the city only for exactly this reason. Because if you run out of energy, you're hosed.
Well, yeah.
So, all right. Here is Don Taylor at the news desk.
That's all the science, right?
Really? Is that it?
Yeah.
That was like two stories.
No, it was like four.
That was unsatisfying.
I'm sorry.
Well, all right. There's your Science in the March brought to you by Squires Electric. You can find them at 503-252-1609. That is 503-252-1609. Or you can go to squireselectric.com and tell them you are glad that they sponsor this Science of the March here at Legion of News on Cascadia.fm. Don't forget the Rick Emerson radio program coming up next hour, along with Mr. Big Jim Willink. He'll be in the studio with us talking about Mitch Hedberg as part of today's Humor Me Comedy 101. Also, Taser Watch, Penis Watch, Clown Watch, or so it says on the board to my right. Here is Don Taylor.
A woman in Minnesota who lost her prosthetic leg while swimming in a lake 3 years ago has been reunited with the limb thanks to an angler. Beth Crone was fishing last month on Lake Ida in Alexandria, Minnesota. She said her line kept snagging on something and that she hoped it wasn't a dead body.
Why would she go right to dead body? Where is this at?
Minnesota.
Does that happen a lot in the...
I don't
in Minnesota?
I would think that if I was fishing and my line kept catching. I was like, I'll bet there's a dead body down there.
Seriously?
Sometimes that's just what your brain
does. That indicates something strange about Beth Crone, I think. If her first thought isn't like there's a log or a tin can or maybe it's wrapped around the boat somehow.
Oh, dead body.
Hope this isn't another corpse.
Not like last week.
Seriously, yeah. I mean, like, is she fishing in the dead marsh or?
No. But anyway, she finally reeled it in, and it turned out it was a prosthetic leg.
Okay.
So they tracked it down through the prosthetic limbs manufacturer in Alexandria, Minnesota, and she returned the leg to the woman who owned it, Pam Riley of Morris, Minnesota. Corinne says she's proud of the catch, comparing it to going deer hunting and shooting the biggest buck. Riley says she always wondered what someone would think if the leg resurfaced in the lake.
And she creeps me out.
Bessie Cooper, born around the time the vacuum cleaner was invented, turns 115 years old Friday in Georgia. At a birthday party in a nursing home that will be attended by family members and a researcher from Guinness Book of World Records, she will get her second oldest person on Earth plaque, because last year, when she was 114, she was the oldest person on Earth then, too.
Wait, she didn't outlive somebody. It wasn't like there was somebody else in the lead who snuffed it.
No, she just outlived herself. She's 2 years in a row. She's the oldest person on Earth.
They should make it a surprise party. Everybody should just wait behind a door.
Well, last year, apparently, the birthday party had an Elvis impersonator. But her son said his mom has slowed down this year. Although doctors say she's still surprisingly healthy and her vital signs are normal, her son said she still remembers things and thinks clearly and talks, but she has her good days and her bad days. I'd say she sleeps about 80% of the time.
I'd say she spends the rest of her time probably begging for death and her family disregards her.
Kill me.
Seriously. No, no, no. The cameras are going to be here.
Bessie Cooper was born in Tennessee, moved to Georgia during World War I to find employment as a teacher. She married her husband, Luther, in 1924. She had four children. She now has 12 grandchildren and more than a dozen great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren. Sidney Cooper, her son, said he's not sure if his mom comprehends that she's the oldest person in the world. If she does, she might not retain it, he said.
It seems like that's a fairly simple concept, so that might give us a little bit of an insight into how sharp mom is these days.
And because, of course, she had to be asked why she thinks she's lived so long. Because as someone who used to work in a newspaper, I can tell you, there are a few things more annoying than those phone calls you get where someone at a nursing home says, this guy's turning 100, and you have to get in your car and go over and try to talk to him. So of course they asked her what their explanation is for why she lived so long. She was born 7 years before the Wright brothers invented the airplane, and her answer was...
clean living.
I mind my own business, and I don't eat junk food.
I wonder if that's code for get the hell out of my house.
I think it is. I mind my own business, unlike you.
I don't go around shoving cameras in people's faces, sonny boy.
Yeah. Walmart is canceling an agreement to install 23 state-controlled wine vending machines in Pennsylvania. A company statement Wednesday cited mechanical concerns. However, a lawyer for the contractor, Simple Brands, said mechanical problems affect less than 0.5% of transactions. Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board CEO Joe Conte says it's disappointing, but he said the board and Walmart are discussing other partnerships, such as a store-within-a-store concept. Conte says 21 other machines still operate in stores around the state. I believe these are the wine vending machines where you go up, you swipe your card, you breathe into a breathalyzer to prove you're not already drunk, and then it will, like, dispense a bottle of wine for you.
That's fantastic. So it's like, does it come in a paper cup with a poker hand on the side of it?
I wish. No, I think it's just a whole bottle. You have to buy a whole bottle.
Oh, really? It just, like, kicks out of, like, a boom, boom, into the drawer?
Yeah.
And you go, oh, it's awesome. There's wine down here.
Exactly.
Wow. Yes. Okay.
So, yeah, and they also, there's a financial dispute between the liquor board and the company that makes them. And calls by the governor and some Republican lawmakers want to end state control over wine and liquor sales. It's much like here, sort of there's this iron-fisted mafia that is the Liquor Control Commission in Pennsylvania. And they're saying if sales are privatized like this, with the kiosks in the Walmart actually being operated and owned by a separate company, then that means that liquor store licenses could be available to big operators like Walmart.
Excellent.
So
I'm all for it. I'm for just booze and cigarettes and crack available everywhere. That seems like a playing field that then levels itself, sort of evolutionarily speaking.
Well, the situation in Libya remains much as it has been over the last several days. Rebels are doing their best to secure Tripoli as they encounter isolated pockets of resistance from those still loyal to Muammar Gaddafi. Gaddafi himself broke his silence early Wednesday morning with a radio address in which he called his retreat tactical and urged Tripoli residents to cleanse the capital of rebels. He said, "I call on all Tripoli residents with all its young, old, and armed brigades to defend the city, to cleanse it, to put an end to the traitors and kick them out of our city." Meanwhile, everybody's looking for him and his sons. Rebel leaders are using special forces and intelligence units to catch or kill the 69-year-old rebel leader. Reuters said rumors of Gaddafi or his sons being cornered or sighted swirled among excitable rebel fighters engaged in heavy machine gun and rocket exchanges. But even after his compound was overrun on Tuesday, hopes of a swift end to the war were being frustrated by fierce rearguard actions.
So this is, he's issuing these statements, like how? I mean, like skywriting or?
I'm really not sure.
I can't imagine he's emailing from somewhere.
Well, it's a radio address, so he's either, like, got a transmitter or he sent a tape to someone or...
He's got one of those Art Bell, like, crank-up radio, like the Sea Crane where he's...
Yeah,
you know.
Seriously, how hard could it be to find the guy?
Really? Honestly, I mean, it seems like we just don't try very hard to find people sometimes. You know, honestly, I just, you know, that he just sort of is scampering away and we kind of go, well, yeah, okay.
I mean, if we can find, like, some woman, you know, who downloaded a Coldplay CD and charge her with a crime.
Maybe that's the thing. Maybe we should just put, Jack Valenti on him and just say, no, we think he pirated Deathly Hallows 2. And then, bam, next thing you know, they'll just be kicking in his front door.
That's right.
All right. Here's Don Taylor.
Detectives arrested a man in Florida on Saturday afternoon after a Publix grocery store employee says the man exposed himself in the store and urinated on the floor. 62-year-old Peter Pavlicek was arrested and charged with indecent exposure in public and driving while his license is suspended. According to Manatee County Sheriff's detectives, an employee in the Publix supermarket saw Pavlicek expose his penis near the children's drinking fountain. The employee says Pavlicek was holding his penis in his hand in a vulgar way. As opposed, I guess, in a polite way.
If he was holding it just by his fingertips, like at arm's length, you know,
with
to get as far away from as possibly could. Just, I don't even want to see it.
He was holding his penis in a vulgar way and looking at an employee with a smirk.
I'm guessing that he's holding it. He's holding it sort of
a jaunty angle.
Well, I was gonna say cocking the shotgun, but you know what I mean.
And then he proceeded to urinate on the floor. Pavlicek initially told detectives he was unable to hold his urine in and could not make it to the restroom. However, the employee told investigators that Pavlicek had been standing a few feet from the restroom and made no attempt to enter it. He was also found to have been driving while his license was revoked due to a DUI charge.
All right. So, don't forget the Rick Emerson Radio program coming up next hour today. Taser watch, clown watch, penis watch, maybe. Are those things all accurate?
Yes, they are.
Did we do the penis watch yesterday, or is this a brand new penis watch?
We did, like, almost nothing yesterday, if you recall. We did, like, the Michael Jackson watch, and that was the only watch we got to.
Is that the only one? I thought we were going to do the penis. We did the Jackson thing because it was the creepy drawings,
yeah,
right?
No, we spent the whole time talking to Christy Turnquist about new TV, and then at the very end,
we knocked out
the Michael Jackson watch at the very end.
But we'll have the top five today as well. These are the top five songs whose meaning or interpretations are still lost on Don Taylor.
Right.
Okay, so these are the five songs that you're never quite sure what they're about.
Right, and it's not even that they're particularly obscure and that no one knows what they're about. It's just that I realize every time I hear them, I realize vaguely, I have no idea what the song's about, and I never bothered to find out.
What do you mean he started a joke? What kind of joke?
Yeah, and then like 5 minutes later, it's over, and I don't think about it again.
All right. So that'll be coming up next hour. The top five songs whose meaning is unknown at this time to Don Taylor, as well as Mr. Big Jim Willig will be in the studio with another installment of Humor Me Comedy 101. Today talking about Mr. Mitch Hedberg, Taser Watch, Clown Watch, and Penis Watch. That is next hour at RickEmersonShow.com.
Authorities in Flagstaff, Arizona are assuring residents that there are no rogue pandas roaming the city after pranksters got creative with an electronic street sign. The Arizona Department of Transportation controlled sign was set up to warn drivers not to make left turns at a busy intersection, but motorists heading to work Monday morning got an entirely different message, which read, "Rogue panda on rampage."
That's fantastic. That's great. Good for them.
A passerby reported the hacked sign to police around 3 a.m. on Monday. Spoil sports. Transportation Department spokeswoman Mackenzie Nuno said the sign was restored to its original message by 11 a.m., She said the agency has no suspects, but she noted the hackers would have needed specialized equipment to change the sign.
Yes, like fingers and and eyes.
Yeah, because we know this is not true, because it's been established before that there's like one password for all of these things, and all you have to do is like log in and do it.
And also, like with money, you can just walk up and like pull back the little plasticky lid that covers the keyboard and just type it and hit enter.
Yeah.
So.
Flagstaff Police Lieutenant Ken Koch told the Arizona Daily Sun that residents can rest assured there are no problems with rogue pandas in the city.
Yeah, but see, you know, here's the thing. Now, when the rogue pandas do go on the loose, no one will believe them. When the cops say to run, people aren't going to take it seriously.
It's the boy who cried panda.
That's what I'm saying.
Casey Anthony has reported for probation on a previous check fraud charge in the state of Florida. Anthony reported to a probation office somewhere in the state at 6 p.m. on Wednesday. Department of Corrections spokesperson Gretel Plessinger said they won't be revealing where that office is for her own safety.
Well, how is Shayma supposed to stalk her now if no one knows where she is?
The court has directed us to keep her location confidential or anything that might lead to the discovery of her location.
I think it was FARC where the link for this, it said, Casey Anthony reports for probation, promises to not allegedly kill anyone else.
Well, and also, I mean, she's going to have to get a job at some point because she's all broken and whatnot.
Yeah.
So don't you think that's probably going to, word will, you know, maybe leak out if she comes into a Rite Aid and asks if there's any teller positions open?
I know.
That might get Twittered about.
Plessinger says that on the direction of the court and in the interest of Casey's safety, her probation details won't be made public.
We're not going to be releasing the probation officer's name, where she's reporting to probation, except to say that it is a probation office in the state of Florida. And her information is not going to be entered into our database.
All right. This seems like one of those things that that Twitter was inadvertently made for. Because, can you imagine just like going into like a Woolworths or something and you're like at the perfume counter and you're just... I mean, that would be the weirdest experience if Casey Anthony was behind the counter and you're like, her name tag didn't say that, but you were positive that it was her.
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder how long it would take for everybody
Kathy
in town.
Kathy Andrews. And you're going... Hmm.
Right, if everybody in the city is just finding an excuse to go by Woolworths and just to sort of give her the long, hard stare from the counter. I wonder how often that happens, like with people who are in some sort of witness relocation program or they've changed their identity somehow. And there's just, you know, there's somebody who's seen them on TV or they've seen like a like one of those courtroom sketches of them or something. And, you know, meanwhile, he's the guy at like, you know, he's the guy at Best Buy, like showing you land cables or whatever.
I don't know.
All right. I'm sensing a zany comedy, perhaps from the Farrelly brothers. It's about time for them to put out some more crap, right?
Sure.
So they could do a whole thing about, you know, but it wouldn't be Casey Anthony. It would be, you know, Kissy, you know, Anthony or whatever, you know, and it's like, and she would.
Kissy Anthony.
And she would be.
That's what she would change her name to.
Well, you know, to avoid lawsuits.
Because no one will figure it out if she changes her name to Kissy Anthony.
No. I'm saying that I'm saying they would in the film, and then they would set it where? You'd set it like in Bloomington, you know.
Like
and meanwhile,
Boise.
Yeah, and meanwhile, you know, she and you wouldn't make it the kid. You make it like she allegedly like hacked her husband up, you know, and cooked him into like a shepherd's pie.
And of course, she'd be working as a waitress in some charming small town diner,
in a Waffle House.
Right.
Right. Exactly.
So.
The Kissy Anthony story. They should totally do that. The Farrelly brothers should just make a movie called The Kissy Anthony Story. And they should make it about... somebody should... Okay, this is a great idea. This is one of those ideas that I have every now and again that really somebody should do and somebody probably will do. Somebody should do a movie that is like comedically close to The Kissy Anthony Story and literally just change things by one letter. And then, but then just flat out deny that it's about her.
And her daughter, Bailey.
Yeah. But then just.
Who was three, not two.
Straight-facedly then just deny that it has any connection to her whatsoever.
It's a mere coincidence.
Hey, let me ask you this. Is it bald face or bold face lie?
I believe it's bald face.
What does that mean?
That's one of the few I don't know. I have a book at home that explains what a lot of things like that are, what the meaning is of certain phrases and stuff. But
that makes less sense than bold faced.
No. I don't know.
Okay.
I know why you say that someone has to is trying to make their nut financially. But like if you have to make a certain amount of money to break even, calling making your nut. That's because when carnivals and circuses used to come to town, they would have to pay a certain amount of graft to the local authorities to stay in town and do their business, and to make and they would have to promise a cut of the proceeds from the fair, the carnival, what have you. And so the authorities would take the bolts and the nuts off of their wheels of their wagons and would not give them back
until they got paid. Interesting.
And so that's why you have to earn or make your nut.
The more you know.
There you go. Let's do entertainment news.
Here's your entertainment news. It is 12:48, by the way, in the great city of Portland, Oregon. Here's your entertainment news for Friday, August 26th, 2011. Here is Don Taylor at the news desk.
Actress Minka Kelly of the upcoming new Charlie's Angels reboot, characterized yesterday on the Rick Emerson Show by Christy Turnquist as the worst actress Christy Turnquist has ever seen,
ever,
has broken up with Yankee star Derek Jeter. They have decided to part ways after 3 years of dating. A source told People magazine they care about each other and it was amicable. They're still friends. I think Derek Jeter saw the pilot for Charlie's Angels and realized what a terrible mistake he had made.
Filled with deep shame at her lack of artistic ability.
I got to break up with her before this is on the air, or I will never live it down. Coming the day after we talked about Roseanne star Sarah Gilbert breaking up with her partner of 10 years, Melissa Gilbert has filed for divorce from her husband, Bruce Boxleitner.
Weird. Okay, and first of all, how long was she with Bruce Boxleitner?
16 years they've been married.
All right.
The 47-year-old former Little House on the Prairie actress announced the couple's separation in March and cited irreconcilable differences in her filing on Monday. She seeks joint custody of their 15-year-old son, Michael, and has requested to not pay spousal support to 61-year-old fellow actor Boxleitner, who recently appeared in Tron Legacy. Jamie Presley was sentenced to 3 years of informal probation on Thursday after her attorney entered a no-contest plea for drunk driving. What is informal probation?
It's where he calls her little lady and smacks her on the ass on the way out.
You just wave through an open door on your way past.
He just says, you come by and check in at my house on Saturdays.
The 34-year-old actress who will star in the upcoming Fox sitcom I Hate My Teenage Daughter was arrested on January 5th in Santa Monica after being stopped for a traffic violation. The police say her blood alcohol content was more than 0.20, with the legal drinking limit, the legal limit being 0.08. Jeez.
I've seen her mugshot, though, and her skank content was 100%.
Oh, yeah. She looked bad.
Yeah.
It was bad. She will also attend a 6-month mandatory alcohol education class, and the DMV is requiring that an ignition locking device be installed on her car. Jim Carrey launched a new website with a video love letter to actress Emma Stone that many online deemed creepy. The 1-minute, 53-second video shows the 49-year-old Carrey speaking into a handheld camera and sincerely professing his love for the 22-year-old actress. Carrey says Stone is all the way beautiful, not just pretty, but smart and kind-hearted, and that if I were a lot younger, I would marry you. He goes on to say that they would have chubby little freckle-faced kids.
I wish he'd go away. Not just for a little while, but forever.
The video was so popular it crashed his new website on Thursday. Carrey said on Twitter that the video was a comedy routine, and I hope someone pointed out to him that if you have to explain it, it's not funny.
Yeah.
Emma Stone has not responded publicly to the video, and her publicist is not responding to emails asking about it.
That was one of those things where I looked at that story yesterday, I saw the link to it, and I just realized that I didn't really care enough to click.
You know how everybody has certain actors that they just can't stand to the point of, like, honestly, if you saw them in public, you would be hard-pressed to not just go up and kick them in the junk?
Yes.
I feel that way about Jim Carrey. I loathe Jim Carrey. Just beyond all comprehension.
I don't loathe him. He just, I dislike him, but I wouldn't say it's an intense dislike. I just prefer not to be exposed to him at all.
I feel about Jim Carrey the way you feel about Steely Dan.
Really?
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yes.
What did he do something to you?
He just has always rubbed me the wrong way. I don't like comedians that mug. I just can't stand him. And then people will say things like, what about The Truman Show? And I say, The Truman Show is a very good movie. And I kept thinking, how much better it would have been if it had someone other than Jim Carrey in it.
Yeah, that's a fair point. So you would say the same thing about like Eternal Sunshine or whatever, where it's like if you could
that's the only
morph in some other actor.
Yeah, that's the only movie that I could really tolerate him in, and even so, I really, as much I love that movie, and I wish it had been somebody that I didn't despise.
Wish you could get some custom version of it made where they CGI insert any other actor here into the role.
Yes, exactly.
All right.
China's Ministry of Culture has ordered music download sites to delete songs by Lady Gaga, Katy Perry, the Backstreet Boys, and other pop stars within 2 weeks or face punishment. The ministry posted a list of 100 songs, including Lady Gaga's Judas and Perry's Last Friday Night, that had to be purged from the Chinese web because they had never been submitted for mandatory government screening. 6 Lady Gaga songs in all were on the list, all from her latest album. The 12-year-old ballad I Want It That Way by the Backstreet Boys was also targeted. Dozens of Hong Kong and Taiwanese pop songs and a few Western hits were listed as well. The ministry said the rule was meant to preserve China's national cultural security. Sites were told in the August 19th announcement posted to the ministry's website that they had until September 15th to carry out self-correction and delete the songs. It said violators would be punished, but it didn't outline the penalties that they would face. It didn't say that the listed songs were objectionable, just that they had not been approved for distribution.
It's weird that that Backstreet Boys song is on the list because it's like 15 years old.
Yeah.
So I wonder if they're just sort of getting around to that, like if they've just spent all their time grinding up political dissidents into a fine paste and they've moved on to the next item on the list, which is Czech songs, and it's, you know.
Apparently, foreign music acts in particular, these are believed to receive special scrutiny after Bjork shouted Tibet during a 2008 concert in Shanghai after performing a song called Declare Independence. And so apparently, if you yell Tibet, everyone must pay.
We were talking at the top of the hour about hash and hashish and what the hell and what they are and whatever. And somebody says there's 2 responses that are probably worth noting. One of them, the first response says hash is made from marijuana. Yes, now get out of Portland. But that's the better response we just got a few minutes ago, and it actually says hash is marijuana. This is marijuana with the less conventional MERUANA spelling.
Okay.
Marijuana.
Marijuana.
And then she just says, sorry for bad spelling.
Oh.
Heard, so,
well, right. At least she is aware that she spelled it wrong and she was sorry.
Yes. So there you go.
Justin Bieber will be giving the gift of himself this winter and will release a Christmas album that he's been in the studio working on for some time now. How long does it take? I mean, really. Justin is donating all the proceeds from the album to charity. He tweeted yesterday, so it's true, been in the studio doing something special for Christmas. We are going to try and raise a lot of money this year for charity. The Biebs is also letting one of his many, many fans name the album he revealed this morning. He asked on Twitter, trying to figure out a name for this Christmas album. It is special. We are going to raise a lot for charity with it. What is a good name? So he's been retweeting responses from his followers. One fan wrote, how about Justin Bieber Christmas Fever? Someone else said, how about Santa's coming just in time? Because he's Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
Although the star has sung for charity before, including the Children's Miracle Network, he did not specify where he would donate the money from his new album. This will be the Bieber's first release in more than a year.
This is the Make It While You Can release,
yes.
Which will be followed by the, because he's already in the live album, right? He did a live concert movie anyway.
Right, so
movie. There's a live album presumably that is either out or in the offing. Then there's the Chris, because there's a few things you got to do if you're a Mac like this. You got to do the live album. You got to do the Christmas album. Then you have the compilation with the obligatory 3 new songs. Then you do the remaster of the first album with songs that were not included the first time around. Then maybe you do a tribute album, you know, of like you covering other people's thing. It's just like, it's whatever you can, it's a list of projects that can be cranked out in the shortest possible time. Because all of those things can be done faster than you can get a new album of original material together. I mean, even if you're using outside songwriters.
And I say God bless him, because I have a massive collection of Christmas album music that I've been collecting for years and years and years, and to the point where it now has to actually be stored on its own separate flash drive because it just takes up too much room. And so, you know, I will purchase Justin Bieber's Christmas album, and it will join my collection along with the Carpenters' Christmas album, Alabama's Christmas album, Helen Reddy's Christmas, the Beach Boys' Christmas. I have so many Christmas albums because I don't know why.
Do you have the Colonel Sanders Christmas album?
No.
Oh, I do.
Oh.
Yeah, that's right. That's how I roll, Don Taylor.
I've got James Brown's Santa's Got a Brand New Bag. I love the Christmas album. Are we done?
We are.
Okay.
And with that, we bring down the curtain on this, another exciting episode of Legion of News. We come to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the Milkpacking District in glorious Southeast Portland, Oregon. At the news desk, Don Taylor, Advanced Technology and Magic Provider, Mr. Thomas Gill, Executive Producer Bruce Agler, Chief of Staff Cheryl Kanakoa. As always, we thank you for listening. We'll see you next hour at RickEmersonShow.com for the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Today with Mr. Big Jim Willie and another installment of Humor Me, Comedy 101. We will see you Monday here at noon at Cascadia.fm for another episode of Legion of News. Until then, have a safe and satisfying weekend, won't you?